Well, this morning, we're going to go back into our teaching. We started a teaching area dealing with, devils and demons and evil spirits. We need to understand these because it still does exist. Much of the church world has replaced these things with psychology. And we're trying to deal with many problems that deal with spiritual beings. And we need to understand that, even with ourselves. Lots of times people, one of the things you need to understand about being, we're going to deal with temptation and things we're going to look at today, because we need to understand this. We deal with Satan. He is so good and really subtle at doing what he does. He was able, now I want you to think about this, he was able to deceive a third of the angels. He's excellent at what he does. There's nobody better than him. No one. No one's better at it. The only reason you and I can, if all we got to do is follow what the Word of God said, you're not going to do it by your genius. You're not going to do that. We got to do what the Bible says, do what the Word says, and you'll defeat him. And understand, he's there. He doesn't come along, and everybody has this idea, they do the pictures, and you got a pitchfork, you got horns, and all that kind of stuff. He never shows up like that. He'll never show up like that. Man put all these things and, it's just some great evil. No one's ever been deceived by just out and out, just straight lies. There's always loads of truth and there's all kind of things in it. Always makes things look good. Things look real nice. And, they seem reasonable. And, you measure it, what happens is there'll be enough truth there that you'll think, well, this thing is good. And then all of a sudden there's a part of it that you lay down about what you believe because something else is said. And we're going to look at that today. One of the things we're going to go over to start out in it, we're going to end up looking at Adam and Eve in the garden because that's where this, we talk about this, the fall and things which we want to look at. But we're going to find out it is nothing different that happened then that happens now. Understand, there's not a different spirit world. There's not different spiritual laws. All those laws were in existence. And so James, we're going to look at James first, because if we look at what James says and some things, we'll understand what took place in the garden. And we're going to find out, we're going to look at the real story of the garden. We're going to look what the Bible actually says. We've all had stories told, and most of us have believed all the stories and have read the Bible, but we read it in line with the stories we were told and not what actual words say. And what we want to do, we want to look at what do the words say? What are words being said? If we understand that, number one, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to know how the enemy operates so you don't fall into it. Now, the Bible tells us that we have this fight. It's called the good fight of faith. It's not without a fight. It's a good fight because if you're in faith, you'll win at it.
Amen.
But if you're not, it ain't a good fight. It's not good at all. We take like with sports people, they go out and they'll sports teams, and sometimes, they have to go into overtime, and it's really a fight for them to win the game. And, the good one is the guys that get to win it out of that whole thing. And I will tell you this, you're going to find out Satan will carry you into overtime. Mm-hmm. He'll do that. He'll carry you into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel like you're in overtime. You get to the point where, like, man, I'm pretty worn. I've been at this thing and standing against this thing and I'm working at this thing. And we just keep going along and doing that. And we need to get our mindset. We're in a good fight of faith. Also, but the Bible tells us this, we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, but it says, but you're not wrestling flesh and blood, but it goes on to tell us what we're wrestling against. In other words, you are going to wrestle. You're going to wrestle. See, this idea that faith, if you're really in faith, you're not going to have opposition. No, if you get in faith, you can count on opposition. You're going to have opposition if you get in faith. If you don't get in faith, this is why some people don't understand. I don't understand these people. They don't follow God, walk with God, and they don't seem to have the problems. Why? They're not in opposition to the devil.
Come on.
They're not in opposition to God. See, he don't bug them.
Mm-hmm.
We think, oh, they're going along good. No, they ain't going along good.
Amen.
There's a judgment set for them.
Come on.
And, there's an outcome that I'm looking for. I'm in this fight and I'm in this wrestling because there's an outcome that I want. See, most of those people, everybody wants a good outcome, but they ain't willing to fight for it.
Preach.
Most people today, what we have, and even in the church world and everything, we get somebody else supposed to take care of everything for us. We do this thing, you know, somebody else do the praying for me. Somebody else lay their hands on my empty head. Somebody else do all this stuff. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Preach.
It doesn't work that way. We need to know that. You're in here. In life, there's a fight. You know, I always look at people of the past, even like my parents, from the way that they were raised and brought up and that stuff. You know, what they went through in life, and I hear people complain today, and I think, man, you ain't got a thing in the world to be complaining about. You don't even know what tough is. You don't know what hard is. You know, I've learned it myself, you know. I look at people, the stuff they went through, and I say, thank God I didn't have to go through that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to come to the place that you look at complaint. America is full of complaint. The church world is full of complaint. And they don't realize how good they have it to what a lot of people are putting up with out here. And a lot of things are going on out here in this world. And you need to be very careful yourself. Because see, these are the worries that the devil deceives you. Poor old you. My words. I had to get up this morning and go to work. Oh my God, Monday, I got to go back to work and all that. Isn't that awful? You got a job and you make money. What a terrible thing happened to you. I want to tell you what, you go to nations this earth and there's billions of people would take your place in 2 seconds.
Amen.
So, praise God. We want to sit, we want to walk in the light of things. So, we want to do that. We're going to look at James. James tells us something here and tells us about temptation. Because if we learn to deal with temptation, it's going to take a lot of fight out of the devil. Because he's not going to have as many opportunities to step in to you. And this is what we want to do. We want to limit the enemy from being able to get at us. Because, you know, there's things come along in life where just in general, things are going to come up. You're living in a world that's tainted. And things are going to come up that we're going to have to deal with as people. But we don't want to add to that. Let's do as much as we can that we're not adding to opening up the door where Satan can get some more opportunities. Now in James, the first chapter, this is what James says, and we want to look at this. This is really important because as we go over, we're going to talk about Adam and Eve in the garden. You're going to see that this is what's taking place there. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So this is one thing. There is reward in enduring temptation. So think about this. Look at the reward side. See, so many people are so focused on the temptation side. Get focused on the reward side. I succeed, and what is it? There's reward. Get your idea. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Always get a God rewards. That's what He does. That's His nature, is the reward. So temptation comes a reward. Then He says this, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. See, there's difference between tempting and testing. We talk like with Abraham, testing. That was about reward. Testing is about reward. You do good in the test, and what happens? You get a reward. You know? Did that in school? If you pass the test, did they do something bad to you? See, testing, God tests people to bring them to reward. God's system is always reward. Nobody can ever come along and say, well, you know, it costs to follow God. I'm sorry, you don't know God. I can just say it, you don't know Him. It never cost me anything. I've only gotten better following God. Things have gotten better following God. I've got worse. I've gotten better. Hallelujah. And so get that in your mind. God's a rewarder. So He's not tempting. In other words, so when temptation comes, like people, things happen in life, devil does something, and people say, why is God letting this happen to me? The first thing they do is turn on God. Why? They've been taught God's in control. Oh, God. I wish we could blow that up in the church, but it is, you know, you're never going to do it. Because religion, the devil has so came in and deceived the church. There's loads of doctrines in the church that are taught in all the denominations that are not biblical. That the devil has gotten in, but they've been so seeded in so many years of been putting it in, drilled and drilled through generations, it has been accepted that it's true. And they twist the Bible around to make it, yeah, it's saying that. And so we don't want to do that. God is good. Now, verse 14. Listen to this. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. How do you get tempted? By your own desires. In other words, you have a desire. Let me just say this to you. Have you ever got tempted to do something you don't like? Nope. You know, have you ever gotten tempted to eat something that you don't like to eat, that you hate? Amen. You know, you take a little kid, you know, something they don't like to eat, and you put it on their plate, and you sit there and talk all this nice stuff. They don't get tempted at all to eat that. They don't desire that. Now, we're talking about desires. We're talking about fleshly desires. That's where you are. See, you need to understand this. We're going to look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve may not have sin and had the sin nature, but they had flesh. Just like you do. And their flesh had desires. If it didn't, then they weren't like us, and all this story is a lie about this. No, they had flesh just like you. And they could have desires of the flesh. Because I guarantee you they did. We're going to look at Eve had desires of the flesh. We're going to find out. She had desire. So, see, you can get desire. See, get desire. You might not have a desire for maybe a certain thing, but if you know what, if somebody maybe can come along and somebody could deceive you into accepting a desire by deceiving you to get you to desire something that you actually didn't have a desire for. Comes from the outside. So, it's hard to get a person to deceive a person who's already experienced something and don't want it. But when you have somebody who hasn't, and you haven't, can be pretty easy to get you deceived, to make you think something's good that's not. How do you think the devil... Look, I mean, angels in heaven. How much is up there to tempt them? They're all living good. They don't know nothing bad. And a third of them go along with his jerk. A third of them. Why? Because he offered them something they had never experienced, and they believed it was going to be a good one. They believed it was going to be a good one. Watch what you accept. In the church world, there's a lot of things said out here people shouldn't be accepting. And they're accepting it because it sounds good. It offers you something. But it isn't. In the long run, it's not. It's not going to offer. You know, they offer the thing of grace. You don't have to repent anymore of sin. Sounds good, don't it? You take that. I'm going to tell you what. It's going to cost you. Don't repent. It's going to cost you. Believe that doctrine. Go ahead and accept it. See what happens. It'll get you. The devil will get a hold in there on that. And when he has that hold, I'll guarantee you, if you accept that, there's other things he's going to get you to accept. I've watched it over time with people. I've watched them. See, today that got to be pretty big, but that's been around a long time. When I was in Rhema back in 1987, they had to talk about it because people back then got in that revelation, so-called revelation. You don't have to repent. That First John. Well, that wasn't the first it started. They had that back in the 1950s that was going on. The devil ain't got a new playbook. It's the same old playbook with the same old lousy doctrines that people fall through. That's amazing. I like, you know, history. I've looked back into church history and stuff. We've talked about, when I was in Bible school, we had it. But you go back and look in this thing and you find all these false doctrines. They've been around for centuries and centuries. Stuff has been pushed off. And it always comes around. It always has its time. It comes back and runs through its cycle. And then people will get away from it. And you wait 10 years later. Here it comes again. Here it comes. Somebody all of a sudden got this wonderful revelation. Say, no, you didn't. It wasn't a revelation. It wasn't from God anyhow. It was a devil. And if you'd look at it, he sent you to find out that one came and died a long time ago. And so we don't want to get into that. But now listen to what he said. He said, we're drawn away by his own desires and what? Enticed. You need to know how it works, how Satan works. You have a desire, then he entices you with that desire. You have a desire. See, you need to be very careful about exposing your desires. Because Satan will come along and entice you. It's number one, understand this. Most people get enticed into things by other people that Satan's using. Can be another Christian who's deceived. and got over, and then he'll come along, that person come along and deceive you. They'll see. They'll find out things that you like to do, or like, well, maybe I'd like to do this, yeah, but that ain't exactly right, but it's okay. It's all right. God loves you. Don't you know that? So if God loves you, he'll load the gun and let you shoot yourself in the foot. He just loves you. So we need to get ourselves thinking. So understand, these are two things. Desire and enticement. This is how they operate. There must be desire, because if you don't have the desire, how are you going to get enticed? There's got to be a desire. So there is a desire. And let me tell you this. There's nothing wrong. You're not weird that you have a wrong desire. You're living in dead flesh, man. What Satan does, one of the big things that he uses on Christians is this. We have a desire for something, and so he makes you believe you're an awful sinner. And what if you were a Christian, you'd never even think like that. You'd never even have that. You'd never do. Biggest lie on the face of the earth, and Christians gulp it right down, feel sorry for themselves. No, I'm going to tell you, you're going to come along and have desires and thoughts sometime that you're going to write, where on earth did that come from? Why am I thinking this stupid thing? I know this ain't right. What happens is you don't want to get over into enticement. You don't want to go to that place. Listen what it says here. It said, verse 15, then when desire has conceived, in other words, the seed is planted. That's what conceived. You take a, you know, we're going to have a dinner here today and celebrate. There was a conception. There was a child. Now that child isn't born yet, but because the seed is planted and if it's let grow, there's going to be a child. That's what's going to happen. So it says here, what's dealing with this, the desire has conceived. What will happen if it's let go? It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Now, here's abortions we can do. We can abort that. Maybe you got yourself over and took a seed of desire, but you don't let it come to fruition and turn to sin. You can abort that. Amen. That's what you want to do. You want to stop that. Just because you fell toward that direction, don't carry it out. Bring it to a stop. See, you can. You can bring, or you can just keep walking that way and bring forth the sin. And end up with a problem in your hands. So you want to deal with that. So we see this principle here. So in other words, when something is conceived to do, we need to understand that seed, if it is not dealt with, will grow up. It's just like with a child. A woman becomes pregnant. That seed of the man in her womb, she's the ground. That thing's going to grow up. That's just the way it is. That's what it does. It grows up. So that's what's going to happen. Well, it's the same here as we're dealing with that seed. If you let that seed get in your heart, you let that thing get in you, it'll start growing. See, some people wonder, wow, well, things get in your heart. Nobody ever did this thing just all, well, you know, they did this terrible thing and this terrible sin and it just happened. No, it didn't. Seeds have been planted. Things have been growing. You know, people say, you know, somebody committed this great, terrible thing. I don't understand. They weren't that type of person. No, you didn't know that person. Something was planted in them. Something grew over time. It never just happens. Something's going on inside of a person. Something is wrong, and that seed was never aborted. That seed got to carry it and eventually built. And Satan kept watering that thing. He kept bringing those thoughts and ideas to that person. He kept watering that thing that was in there. Kept it growing. See, that's what you don't want to do in there. You don't want to get over into that thing where you let that thing, whatever it is, fester in you. That's when you end up in very grave troubles. Now listen, he said, he went on to verse 16. He said, don't be deceived, my beloved brother. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, temptation is God. What those things are never God. Never God. These things, God's not trying to work something out in your life. God's never moving you toward the area of sin. He's always moving you away from it. And if anything, if you get messed up and you get over and start letting something grow, he'll help you to bring that thing to a halt. He only has good to offer. He's not going to, well, you dummy. You know, he didn't throw Adam and Eve under the bus. You know, And you need to understand this. We need to get in our thoughts, get thinking right. Now, so, and we understand in this, in the thought life, and, because we want to look at another scripture here in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Because of going over to look at Adam and Eve, we have to understand here again, because these are spiritual principles that stand. They're never going to change. It's how it operates out here. And so, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of stronghold." How do we do this? What is our weapons that are mighty? What is this? Well, he says this, that our weapons are for this purpose, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You need to know, you need to become an expert at taking thoughts into captivity, wrong thoughts, and bringing them to a stop. You can't keep magnifying. What happens if you take thoughts and you keep thinking on them and you keep thinking on them and they aren't right? I'll guarantee you this. Eventually, you'll be saying things. And what? Faith comes by hearing and by your own words. Faith don't just come by God's word speaking. Faith comes by what the devil says. You'll have faith in what he says. You see, he comes along. What's he going to do? You have this desire. Now, he wants to entice you in that thing. This is what he wants to do. He wants to entice. Taking thoughts into... See, wrong thoughts come along and say, "Hey, hold it. That ain't mine." See, thoughts can either be accepted or thrown out. You can't stop thoughts from coming to you. They'll come. I mean, people will give you thoughts. People can say something gives you thoughts. You read something, it gives you thoughts. Whatever it is, thought, that you got to measure thought. What do you measure your thoughts against? The Word of God. Like Mike said, you study yourself to, approved unto God. A workman is not ashamed, right? Anybody not in the truth? You don't know much of the Bible. You ain't going to be, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get knocked out in the round. You're going to go out there, you ain't going to make it to the first round. You're going to get knocked out.
Preach.
You want to fight with the champions, you're going to have to get a champion at the Word. The devil's an expert at this. He's an expert. He's an expert at deception. You better know how to block it. And this is our block. It's not something difficult. You measure everything against the Word of God. See, I don't know what the Bible says about this. Well, don't do anything till you find out.
Amen.
Don't go ask everybody else and your best friend. They'll tell you what's right for the little they know.
Come on.
Go to the scriptures, look up, find out what the Bible says about it. You know, oftentimes people are always worried, they'll go to somebody else to find out. No, you find out for yourself. You have to know. Because most people tell you something's right or wrong and say, "Give me a scripture," and they'll stand there and go, "Duh." They don't even know what the scripture says about it. They just believe it's all right, or they believe it's not all right. They don't even know. They don't have a scripture basis for it. We measure against what God said. So everything that comes along to us, we need to measure it against something. This is our protection. This is faith. This is the shield of faith. You ain't got a shield of faith if you don't know what God said on the subject you're messing around with. You don't have a shield of faith. You can say, "I'm trusting God." Yeah? What? With what? You have to have the Word to stand on. That's the way it works. The Bible says this, so therefore I can stand. Then when I've done all to stand, I can just stand. Hallelujah. Why? Faith will uphold me. But it's faith in the Word of God, not in my ideas or somebody else's ideas. It's what the Bible say about it. So if I know what the Bible says, then therefore I can take it. I'm in a place of faith. Therefore, I can overcome in this thing. I'm at the right spot. So this is why we get into the Word of God, is to find out, what does God say? Why? Because there's reward for you. To overcome this, there is reward. You know, there's no reward for, you know, getting hauled off into captivity and going to the prison camp. You don't go to the prison camp and things really work out well. It doesn't happen. You don't want to go there. Hallelujah. There's reward. Why? God has designed you and given you the ability and the wisdom to overcome in the battles of life. It's been given to us. Now, we need to understand this about it. God's word, lots of times, don't make a bit of sense, not compared to what we see around us. What is it, you know, telling us what to do when everything around doesn't look like that's working at all? But see, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're believing something, an unseen being. His words will help me and cause me to overcome. And what he says will happen to me is what's going to happen. And everybody say, you're crazy. You thinking like that? You're nutty in a fruitcake. Yes, sir, I'm nutty in a fruitcake. Get over it. I believe in that stuff. But see, this is where it lives. See, most all humanity and most all Christians, they live by what they see, feel, touch, taste. That's their life. And they call it, we're trusting God. No, you trust God when you're standing in something and you're looking around and say, boy, everything is going crosswise. God says, do it this way. And everybody's saying, no, come here to me. Come there. No, we do it like this. And say, you're the flaky weirdo, you know? You're weird. Yeah, you're weird. You just don't understand. That's what's wrong with you. You're flaky. No, you stay over in this area. See, real Christianity is contrary in life. And you're going to have opposition all the time. You're going to have opposition among your own camp of people. Or opposition. Because people are on different spiritual levels and they think, oh, this sounds crazy. He's already doing that. That sounds nuts. This person's doing that. But it's the Word of God they're walking in. It's the Word of God. They're walking by faith. They're walking what they believe in. And so we want to walk in this. So God gave us these things. Now, we're going to go over to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And as we go there, I want you to understand this and get it gripped in your mind. We're living in a much different world and time than what they were here. The earth was not the same as we have here. See, lots of times we read and try to, like in this area, is try to understand some things on the basis of what we have now and know now. The earth was completely different. We need to understand that we were in an earth then, and in that earth, that really was a terrarium, is what it was, according to Scripture. There was this ball here, and it had water around the whole thing. See, one thing that we didn't have, if you understand and look at this kind of things of what that world was, really was an uncontaminated world. You didn't have radiation and stuff like they have today that comes in. See, it's one thing that really has shortened people's lives is radiation that comes into the earth. It's a big thing that shortens people's lives. Radiation causes a lot of problems. And as time has gone on, the earth is decaying. Things about our atmosphere and stuff decay. And over time, why? Because this is a death march, folks. This is why you want to live by faith. You need to live by faith because this earth's going to kill you. This earth's going to kill you. What is going on? See, man was living in a bubble. That bubble that man lived in, where he was living at and that stuff. It was like, you know, they had the temperature and stuff was set. It was just beautiful and comfortable for man to live in there. Plants grow and things, and what's going on? There's no rain. None of that's happening in here. You know, you talk about, you know, there's no storms. Nothing like that goes on everywhere. We can't imagine. And I'm going to tell you, the animal life is not like it is today. The animal life was nothing like it is today. Nothing like it is today. We're going to find out. Right from the beginning, we're going to find out animals talked. The Bible says so. The church thinks that's a freaky thing because they don't read the Bible. They've been told stories. Animals talked. We have in the beginning, if we look at Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 1, listen, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, I want you to stop there. Did she freak out that a snake talked to her? No. It was a normal thing. She would have known if something came along and a snake talked to her, she'd have said, oh my God, where is it? This ain't ever happened before. We need to understand there was a whole different level at that time between human and animal and what went on. Now, these animals, they didn't have a spirit like the human. God's the only one who breathed breath of life into the human. But they had intellect, and they had high intellect. We're going to find out with this. Because, you know what? Pete, let me just tell you this right now. This serpent here that is mentioned is not a creation of Satan. This is God's creation. It says so. Listen what it said. We read, For we read there, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. The Lord had made this serpent that's here. This serpent was made, that is talking, was made by God. Satan is not the creator. He didn't create a serpent. The serpent was created by God. Go read creation. When God made the animals and everything, didn't he say they were good? Well, then something happened. Something happened. See, these animals had intellect. They could commune. Man could commune and talk with animals. Now, he didn't understand this. The Bible tells us there was nobody else on the earth that was in Adam's class. The animals were on a lower class. But it doesn't mean they were idiots. It isn't like today out here with animals. It wasn't like that. Because we're going to find, you know, we're going to find this out. That snake got deceived by the devil. Just like, see, somebody comes along and deceives, and then they deceive. See, the devil will find somebody to deceive, and then they will carry that deception to other people. This is how it operates today. Somebody gets deceived, and then they'll carry that deception. And it's good. I mean, we have somebody gets something good and can pass it on to people, which is saying somebody gets something bad and can pass it on to people. And so, we have this going on here. So, he said the Lord had made this. Now, the statement that this serpent makes to him. Now, one of the things that I had looked at upon here, because in the King James, the word subtle is there, and really the word is cunning, but also I went and looked up about this word, what it means. Also, a meaning of this word is prudent, which means it's wise. So this was a very wise being. In other words, there was different levels of intellect among animals that God created. There's different levels of intellect. This one was a very wise one that God created. Now, really, he created what? He didn't create it that it was cunning and bad. It was never created. Now, somebody that's cunning doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. Somebody cunning may have very good sense and pick up things that, you know, ain't going right. So we need to understand this. See, everything's turned to the negative. God didn't create a negative being. Never happened. But how did it get that way? How did that happen? Because we're going to find out, God curses the serpent. He didn't curse Satan. Satan's already cursed. He was kicked out of heaven. But he curses that being. That being had enough intelligence to know it was doing wrong. Or God is doing wrong. God don't operate that way. If somebody's ignorant, you take a little child, does something, don't know any better, and does something, you know, we don't go around and try to kill them, do we? Oh, with the thing, you know. You don't do that. Why? Because they don't know. It's a whole lot different than a person who understands. See, there was an intelligent level here. See, the same thing is going on in James. Somebody goes over here and has a desire, and they get enticed. And see, we're going to find out that that's used. The devil used it. The devil got something across to this snake. See, it's one thing you're going to find out about Satan. I talked about it before. Last week we looked at a guy who is completely demon-possessed in the Scriptures. Satan always wants to operate through a warm body. Bodies, whether it's a person or an animal, they like to manifest themselves because it is where they can express themselves more into the earth through people or an animal than they can outside of it. You have to understand this. Why the devil wants to possess people. He wants to get over to possess because he'll have a fuller range of manifesting what he wants to do through an individual. Because you understand, the human in this earth is the highest form God put it here of authority. And that's who his target is mostly. It's the human. That's what he wants to get at. See, what he wanted to get at, he wants to get it at the God's creation. This is the man and the woman. Not the trees and all that kind of stuff. He wants to get at them. It's the highest form. If he can get over and taint that, which he didn't know, I talk about, but he didn't understand that. Because we need to understand everything was created by God. In Colossians 1:16 says this, "For by him, speaking of Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and earth, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or power, all things were created through him and for him." So the devil's not a creator. God is the creator. Everything was created. The devil was created by God. He wasn't created as the devil. It's what he decided to be. God does not make robots. God will never make you do anything. You'll get to the point to make you wish you sometimes, "I wish I would have listened to him." you could go there. But he won't make you do anything. He didn't make Satan follow him. A lot of people say, angel, I remember as a kid, they said in church, angels don't have wills. Well, sure, how could they have fallen if they didn't have wills? They can will to do that. God never creates robots. That's why when people say God's in control, they have no clue how God operates or things. They don't know him. God's in control. He has sure made a mess of this earth. See, people get these ideas about things, and we need to understand it. God wants his will done in the earth, but he doesn't force anybody to do it. He has all this good that he wants to pour out. He's looking for people who will follow his will so he can bring it out. That's what he does. He doesn't want you deceived, because if you get deceived, it's going to hurt you. If you get deceived, it's going to hurt you. God doesn't want you hurt. He doesn't want that. He doesn't rejoice. God don't rejoice in judgment. He doesn't rejoice in it. And so we need to get this idea. He is one who, he's a blesser. That's what he does. That's what he loves to do the most. Now we find this out concerning this. They're in this situation. Now the statement that the serpent made to the woman, he said, the beast of the field, he said, the Lord had made, he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That is a true statement. He said, did God say that? Because God did tell them. They can't eat every tree. So he didn't come and bring some lie to them. It's a truth. They can't eat of every tree. So see, what's he doing? He's moving the woman into the area to talk about what he wants to carry. So go understand, this deceived, Satan has brought deception in, and now he's going to carry that deception out through this serpent. He's going to carry it out. I'm sure he probably told that serpent, "Life's going to get a lot better for you if you can get them to listen to what I'm telling you." And if they get in charge and you get God out of here, this will work a lot better. You know how smart you are? So you see, the deceived serpent, this is why Satan is called a serpent. The serpent fell for the same deception that the other angels fell for and everything. It's a whole thing of it is, let me be in charge. Man, I would let me be in charge for 30 years. That didn't work. That wasn't a good period in human history. It's like you got to get yourself over. Well, he made a statement's true. So the woman responds in verse 2 and says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now, it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" Now, there's a lie. Now, you're not going to lie. You're not going to die. Well, they didn't die that day. But they never lived one day with the Lord. See, you need to understand, this is what the millennial reign is, Christ, is to remove the curse off the earth. Satan's going to be removed, and men will live to be over 1,000 years old. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. The curse will be removed from the earth. There are going to be people on this earth after Christ's return, and there's going to be human beings on this earth that are already living here, 70, 80 years old, and there's going to be 1,000-year reign. The curse is going to be broken on the earth. Man's going to live one day with the Lord. And then the good stuff comes. Hallelujah. But man's going to live. It's removing the curse. See, that day, man died. Man was supposed to continually live on. That's what God wanted. God made it. Now, I want to understand this. God knew it wasn't going to keep running, because the Bible says this: before the foundation of the earth, he planned to send Christ. That was God always, God had a plan and Satan didn't know this plan. He didn't know what it was. He didn't realize that when he got man to fall, his judgment date was going to get set. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, they knew, they said, you know, you come to torment us before the time. There wasn't a time set. But after Christ was raised from the dead, who was a man, man's victory over death set the death sentence for Satan and his kingdom. It set it. There's a time set now. And that time got set how? By man. If Satan was a fool to get man to sin, he was a fool. He didn't realize he should have stayed out of that, but he didn't. He's a fool. He's a liar and a cheat. He thinks everybody else is. See, he should have never messed with it. If he wouldn't have messed with man in the garden, oh, he'd have been out there in a whole lot of trouble with God. But his judgment wasn't set. It got set when Jesus rose from the dead. It was set. His judgment. He knew that he would be judged, but it wasn't set now. And it got set a whole lot closer than he probably thought. He probably had no idea that he had so many short days to live from an attorney standpoint. That he was going to get thrown into the lake of fire and for eternity. And it's coming. It's coming, and that was set because of man. See, when the Lord told me that I first got born again, he said, man's the key to put away sin forever. Man's the key. This is why God so loves man and has put everything toward man. Why he wants to spend eternity with man. Because man is his most valuable thing. Sin wouldn't have been bought in. Sin wouldn't have been dealt with. It wouldn't have been for man. God set this thing in motion to bring, had to bring a man into earth to correct this thing, which was going to deal with Satan forever. God used, now people can, we can blame this natural side. The physical side God used to put Satan in his place forever. This physical side. Making a physical man. Satan never saw that coming. Because the spirit realm was the biggie. No, I'm sorry. God tricked him. Oh, God tricked that boy. Hallelujah. He tricked him. And see, you've got to see yourself in the light of God. See, people sit in this earth, well, you know, God, I've heard ministers say this over the years. God really don't need us. And I think, you know, you need a definitely about 10 more dips. Your mind is gone completely. You haven't read the Bible ever. God, look at the stream God went through to save man and what he wants to do. I always used to think about this when I was the first got born again. I always thought, you know, people say, you know, we want to go live with God. And I say, well, the end, it says there's a new heaven and earth and God comes and lives with man. God wants to live with man. God likes man. God is the ones we received his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, my God, we're the icing on God's cake.
Amen.
See, how you view yourself and what you think about God, this is why it's easy to deceive a people who have been taught to be, well, you know, God saved you in spite of you, rotten thing, you. Like, he just did it because he's nice. He didn't really want to do it, but he had to because he loves, you know. So, so he saved you, you ugly thing. We're God's treasure in this earth. We're the key. Hallelujah. He's never going to throw the key away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want to get thinking right. Well, we find out here, we said about there was a lie told. But listen what he says. He's going to tell, make another statement of truth to her. Because we find out God even confirms this truth later on. He says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's a true statement. He just told him a true statement. You're going to be like God is. Now, you know, there's one thing as I found out. God knows about good and evil. Man hasn't done well knowing what's good. That was a wisdom that, that we could have done without. But I want you to say that. See, on him, here is Satan's trap. It's Satan knows this trap. This is what he fell into. He wanted to, he's going to replace God. I'm going to be like God. You know, I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of God. This is what I'm going to do. See, I'm like, I know good and evil now, and so man, step back. So what does he want with them? He wants them to fall to the same thing. So offer something. What does he do? See, this revelation I'm giving you is going to put you way over everybody else. You're going to go far beyond everybody else. I can't stand that when I see sometimes books put out and stuff and they're like, oh, if you get this thing, you're going to be way out there. Yeah, most people do get way out there. No. Wisdom comes from God. True wisdom, simple. There's this great hidden wisdom. God's not hiding wisdom from the church. He's not hiding it. God wrote his book out plain. Man has turned around, got things hidden because of what the way we think about things. But we need revelation from God. But God's not hiding revelation. He's bringing revelation out. If God hid revelation, we could never mature or go on to whatever he wants us to do. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Wants you to become something, but hides it from you what you need to get to. Wouldn't that be the dumbest thing? I mean, I was raised in a church like that, you know. We were idiots because God wanted us to be idiots. we didn't know nothing because God didn't want us to know nothing, you know. And then he was mad all the time because we didn't know nothing. You know, it's hard. I don't know about you. I found it very hard to live under that weight. That's why I broke through, away from Christianity. Had anything to do with it. Because it sounded insane. And it was. It was insane. The thinking was insane. All this deceptive teaching. They didn't realize that they were deceived. They never realized. If you'd have told them they were deceived, they'd have got so mad at you. But they were. They were deceived. They didn't know. They didn't know the truth. And one of the worst things that can happen to any believer is not know how good God is. When God becomes your enemy, what place can you stand to fight? Look at the Antichrist system. God opposes him. What chance has the guy got? Say, if God's in opposition of us, you know, you ain't got nothing to pray about anymore. You ain't got anything. He's against you. You're fried. You're done. See, you can't think in that manner. See, we were his gods for me. Who could be against me? And the church has quoted that, but actually believes the opposite. God's after me. So we need to get ourselves over into some right thinking. So now verse 6 is an interesting because listen to this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, what'd she do? Her eyes. See her eyes? Oh, yeah. That tree was always good looking. That was always a pretty tree over there. You think she never thought about that before? This didn't happen in 2 seconds. She had this thing in her flesh looking over there at that thing and had been looking at that thing often. You know, hey, it sits in the midst of the garden. Understand this about sin and things in life. Things that look good. God don't hide them. They're out there. We can see them all around us and things going on. It's all around us out there. We can see it. We can see it. It's all around us. So, what are we going to do about it? Now, you may be looking at something and say, oh, man, boy, I'd like to do that. But then you stop and say, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. At least that's what you should be. Say, no, that's not a good. But she looked and said, yep, that thing does look good. Said, that tree, he said, it was good. It was good for really all. So it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, here's the thing. Now this, she's going to get a new revelation. Here's the planting, the seed has been planted. The seed has been planted. Oh, and a tree desirable to make one wise. You see, this is the parable of the sower here. See, God had planted a seed in her. You stay away from that thing. Satan comes immediately and steals that seed. He replaced it with do this, you'll get wise. God don't want you smart. God don't want you wise. God's holding back from you. And he holds back from people because He's got to keep them dumb so he looks good. Satan fell for that. Satan thought he could rise above God, so he must thought God was not the top of the shelf. He could be on another shelf above him, you know. We're going to a higher place. Well, he found out that didn't work out. But what does he do? Man, the same thing. Offers the wisdom that he generated in himself. He was never tempted to sin. He generated that thought himself. That's why he can never be forgiven, because he was never tempted to sin. He's the author of it, the Bible tells us. He's the author of ugly. He's the author of it. He generated it. Now, what does he do? He's generating the same thing. He offered the woman, and she took the seed. She replaced the seed that God gave her, the word of God, don't do, and she put that aside and said, nah, I get smart. Now, I'd be like God. Yeah? Next time he comes down, I'll tell him what to do. Next time he shows up, you know, hey, woo, we got it now. See, she fell for this thing. She was deceived in that. Understand, she had the truth. But because of desire, it opened the door for the devil to come entice her with something. To entice her. All she had to do was stand in the word and say, no, God said, don't eat that thing, don't do it. God said, nah. So she went for it. She thought she was going to get something good out of disobeying God. She thought she was going to get something good. Now, I want you to understand these, because we can't throw rocks at her. Every one of us here have done exactly the same thing how many times? I won't ask for a raise of hands and we'll tell how many times. I won't do that. We're not out here to embarrass anybody. So let's not throw rocks at her. You need to understand. See, this principle runs. See, God didn't make robots in the garden. God didn't make robots. It's not what he wants. See, God wants people who follow him by choice. Not by, that they do it by choice. Understand? That's what he's looking for. By choice. You want to. And he offers a wonderful salvation so you can make a great choice. You can make an absolutely wonderful choice. Hallelujah. Well, that wasn't enough to make a wise. So she took the fruit and ate it. And she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Isn't it interesting? She didn't know. When she ate, she didn't know till he ate. Why? He's the authority. He's the authority in the earth. Understand it. When this guy ate, then they knew they were naked. We need to understand this. Man, you need to understand about in this earth and how operation levels of authority. There's levels of authority in the spirit realm, but there's levels of authority in this earth. And men are not walking in their authority. They become women. And the women want to become men. And it's put everything out of whack of balance. And you can't get things back in order in the church till we bring God's order back to the church. We need to understand this, about this. Why? The man's the seed carrier. Mm-hmm. See, sin passed on because of the seed, not because of the ground, not the woman. That's why God could send his son into the earth, because the contamination of sin didn't pass through the woman, it's the seed. Man was in a place of authority. Adam did the worst thing that there was. And what God said when he heard about it, it says, let's read on, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam said to his wife, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." It says, and he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the fruit of the tree which I command you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, It's my wife's fault. He said, the woman whom you gave to me, with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Now, goes on, and God said, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. And she's right, yeah. And I ate this. And so, he ate. Says, so the Lord said to the serpent, now look, he's going to talk to this serpent. He's not talking to the devil, he's talking to the serpent. So we know this. This serpent has intellect. God has an expectation about that serpent, what it should be doing or not doing. See, we don't have that today. God ain't talking to the animals. He ain't doing that. You didn't get deceived by any animal today, you know. If you go home and your animals are talking to you, Phil Haven's right out there. A couple of shots, you'll be okay. He said, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all cattle. In other words, all the other animals, you're cursed more than they are. Because now, see, the curse has fallen on the entire earth. Everything's going to start from here to a downgrade. Everything starts here from to a downgrade. After the flood, we know this, that things change hugely dramatically, even among the human beings, because we have Shem, who's Noah's son. He's 100 years old when the flood comes, and he lives 500 years past that, the flood. He lives 500, he was alive when Abraham's in the earth. So the human beings, there was something different about them over on that side than it got over this side. Something different. Now, concerning their bodies, not as a spirit being, but something concerning their bodies, that it really shortened life. It really shortened life after the flood. See, there's a number of things that go along. Number one, plants don't produce just what man needs to eat. Because after the flood, God told man, eat the meat, it's good for you. Man never ate meat before that. They didn't eat meat on the other side. See, there's things, we need to be very careful in our thoughts and thinking today. People don't read the Bible, is what they don't do. There's things that we can learn about things, especially walk in faith with God, and I'll tell you, it'll sustain you. But get into all this junk talk today about what people and what is good and what's not. People, I go what the Bible says. I don't care what some other scientist said he figured out or whatever else. If the Bible says something's good, then we're going to do that. Because I can't walk by faith any other way. See, we need to stop at some of this stuff and say, hey, hold it. What's going on here today? See, we're living in an earth, and people say, I mean, if we would take just probably in the last, you know, couple hundred years, there's a lot of things have changed concerning what nourishment and stuff is in foods that we grow and things. There's not as much as it is was years ago. There's not. See, this earth is on a decline. You don't realize how much more you need to walk in faith. A lot of our ancestors thrived on a lot lesser faith, but they had a lot more working for them over there on that side of naturally. We don't over here, you better get learning how to walk by faith. Because there's a lot more working against you over here, but it don't have to if you learn to walk by faith. Amen. You can be sustained. You can walk. Hallelujah. You can have that spirit that's in you quickening and making you alive. And you need to get this in your mind. Quit listening to all the stuff that everybody's doing. I always cracks me up. They always have every day in the news, they'll have a thing in there. You know, they did a study and found this out and found that out. And two months down the road, we found another study out and it says opposite of the one they just gave you. And it's all these different, you know, they had always said coffee was going to kill you. Now you need to be drinking. You know? These people ain't got an idea. I mean, drink by faith. If God tells you to quit, but drink it, enjoy it, and say, shut up to all these other idiots out here. See, if these people told me not to drink it, I'll start drinking it just because they told me not to. I'll tell you what, I know they're going to be wrong on the thing. They ain't got no clue. What you do is you do by faith. I'm going to tell you, it's like the Lord told me, it says all things in moderation.
Amen.
We live under the thumb of a lot that is killing us physically because we're listening to a society that don't know how God works. We're listening to people who are supposed to be experts and they ain't even good spurts.
Come on.
Much less experts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to get think about it. But God's going to run. He curses us above all the cattle. And he says, and more than all the beasts of the field, on your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. He did that to a physical being on the earth. This is a physical being he did that to. See, people say he did that to Satan. No, he did to one who was spreading what Satan wanted to. Why? Satan's already cursed. Satan ain't crawling on his belly here in the earth, in the dust. He's a spirit being. He's a spirit being. He's not crawling on the dust in the earth. You see, man made up stories. We get to think about it. It's like to me, I look back and think, my words, you know, there's a, how much we don't know. You know, I was just listening to a thing Brother Hagin had done, you know, years ago, and I was listening to him talking, and he said, man, he said, there's so much we don't know. So much that we don't understand. And he said, thank God for what God's shown us. But you know, and he said, because every time I find something out, I realize how much I don't know. And it's like with these things, when we sit down and think, people told stories over the year. I believe some people saw this, but it became thing like, that's a fantasy. That can't really, God must have been saying something else. No, it isn't. It's exactly what it says it is went on here. It's the Bible. And see, we're not living today like there's a degrading in the whole earth going on. You know, there's people who are trying to save the planet. Well, it ain't going to work. You're not going to save it. Now, I don't believe in just blowing the thing up. There's some wise things that we can do for ourselves. You listen to God, you know, but walk, you know, live right. Follow things that the Bible says to do, and I'll tell you, you'll do well. And your health will do well. Your mind will do well. Just keep following what everybody else says and all the other experts that, you know. Because, I mean, I look today at all the nuts we have in education, dear Lord, and he's sitting around telling us that they're the ones that we're supposed to be listening to saying, dear God, we're in trouble. Because our kids are getting so smart now. I mean, they're geniuses. I mean, my God, they're rocket scientists. A third grader in my day was ahead of them. We could do more. We knew how to tie our shoes anyhow. They didn't have to have Velcro. I'm not against Velcro. But you know, see, people get thinking, this is one thing we lose it. People don't realize how far man has been degenerating mentally. Never the plan of God. Never find that God had any plan of that in the Bible. But it's happening to people. So we want to walk in the light. Well, in verse 15 it said, this is God speaking, he said, concerning the woman, he said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And really, it's a prophecy. We need to know that speaking. That is speaking what happened spiritually here. This is what took place on here. Satan's authority is going to get stepped on. And that's what happened. That's what Jesus Christ came along. The head means the authority. We have Adam. Adam gave up the authority as his place, opened the door. Adam did the worst because we're going to find out. He said to the woman, he went on to her. He said to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. He says, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. So then he said to Adam, because you what? Heeded the voice of your wife. Adam did the worst of the worst. He wasn't tempted. He went and listened to somebody that was under his authority and did what they said to do rather than what he knew to do. He wasn't tempted. Adam did like the devil did. He wasn't tempted. He just out and light blatantly sinned. And look what it did to us. When he did that, he just blatantly sinned. Well, mama's eating it, I'll eat it. Yeah, she's a good cook anyhow, so you know. Mama's doing it, we're just going with it. He didn't stand in his place of authority. He should have brought that to a halt. You need to understand this. sin could have not reigned if Adam didn't sin. Because Adam wouldn't have failed to sin. His seed would have produced through the woman just the same as God did through Mary, produced a man with no sin. She's the ground. She ain't the seed. He's the one who passed the sin nature on to everyone. We all got the sin nature because he listened to mama. It doesn't mean men don't listen to their wives. You don't listen to them at all. But you need to understand, you got a place of authority. Know what God's saying and stand. Don't let anybody move you off of it.
Amen. Preach.
Don't matter what everybody else is doing, whatever else looks good, you stand.
Amen.
Because you'll always find people around you, people go off into things just stand. So Adam, he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the fruit of the tree which I command you not, you shall not eat of it. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. In other words, pronouncement of the human body is going to die now. That body wasn't going to die. That body could have gone on and lived and lived and lived. But now it's a pronouncement. Out of the dust, he said, because of, see what sin did? Sin started deterioration in the earth. Thorns and thistles are going to come. These things, they're going to come. Why? They said, well, God did it. No, he didn't. Sin did that. Sin brought it. Man brought that through sin. Man followed what the devil, man has perverted. Man's perverted now. I mean, just think about it. Your first offspring murders your second offspring. This is what's going on. You know, things turned bad quick, didn't it? See, a rebellious father and a rebellious mother turned around and put a rebellious older son. He knew about what God required to sacrifice, but he wanted to start his own religion. What does he do? You'll find this all the time. I'm going to start my own religion where we sacrifice fruit. See, I'm the fruit tree grower. I want God to accept my fruit. No, you give God what he asks, not what you want. Mm-hmm. This is how other religions get started. Men want, you know, I remember talking to a minister about this one time, because saying about a certain thing, and he went and made mention, yeah, but I want to do that for God. I said, God never called you to do that. Yeah, but I want to do that. That's the way I want to worship him. I said, you're starting another religion, huh? We don't give God what he asks. You're going to give him what you want. Well, this is what I have, and I want him to be happy with what I give. No, God, you tell me what to give, and I'll be real happy.
Amen.
Because why? The blessing's not on what I want to do. The blessing's on doing what he wants.
Amen. Preach.
If he's not being mean, it's cause this. You and I don't know enough about doing good. So listen to him. Just listen to him. It might not seem smart to you, but I'm going to tell you, he has blessing in it. Do you want blessed?
Amen.
This is what we do. It comes out to this. Understand this. When we look at this, people are doing the identical thing today in the earth. Christians are doing the identical things. There's deception things going on. Things are happening out here. It's not changed. It's not different from the beginning from that standpoint. The spiritual realm is always operating in the same way. It always, the laws of the spirit have never changed. Things in the natural may change. But spiritual law never changes. That's why you want to walk in the light of spiritual law if you want to change things in the physical. Mm-hmm. You don't change things in the spiritual by doing physical things. This is why, you know, people, you know, man, we're going to make potions and lotions and we're going to do all this stuff and we have our ways of worshiping and doing all. None of that stuff amounts to squat anything. Spiritual law is what makes things work. And so what the Spirit God says to do, if we do that, we can change things on this side. We can uphold things, you know, we should be upholding things here in this realm. You know, Satan wants to destroy this side really quickly. We can uphold things and slow things down. But we can if we just keep going along, keep doing things natural. We have this whole idea that the vote is the big thing in town. No, we gotta get, there's spiritual things gotta be done. that if they're not done, the vote ain't going to do what people want. Even if it does, they ain't going to end up with what they want. Because we're dealing with people under influences of spiritual forces. And if those spiritual forces aren't dealt with, you know, today it's all about money. I mean, if I got all the hundreds, thousands and thousands and thousands of emails and texts, we just need more money. We need more money. We need more money. Say, no, we need godly people. That's what we need.
Amen.
Because you can spend a lot of money and buy a lot of ungodly folk. We just need the more the money, the more the money, the more the money, and everyone's going to go, well, then we get this. We buy what it... Sure, you can buy anybody off for anything. Today, you sure can. People are easy to buy off. You can buy people's votes off at a... Just like that. You think about it. We put people in office. Just think about it. We're down in Washington. We got people in the House of Representatives and people in the Senate asking us for money to fight for certain bills. What do they need money for to vote right on a bill? Why do they need money for me to give to them for them to vote the right thing on the bill? Why? Because they vote right for the bill. They got to buy those people under them on the outside whose influences is, I'll pay you off, let me vote for this. Or whatever. Let's do this. We're going to give you money to get you on my side. This is why there's so much evil in Washington, because the love of money is the root of all evil.
Come on.
It's money just driving this stuff and driving it and driving it. We have all this thing today, you know, I said, well, you know, we have to have free speech and a free economy. What free economy? Give me a break. The government's got their neck in everything in the economy, controlling darn stuff and doing all kinds of things. Paying off this guy, paying that guy, letting this guy have. I mean, if you just took at our nation during the COVID thing, big companies were allowed to be open and sell, and the little guy was thrown out.
Yep.
Oh, it's because they love America. They were helping us. You know? Walmart didn't have enough billions, and the guy sitting over here making himself a couple thousand a week, he's thrown out of business. Who was that done by? All those people that love America. They keep telling us, Washington. Those things didn't happen without votes. They was darn trying to save your life. I'm just saying this. Look, this is all out here. But see, this is our job, is to take our place. This is our job. We take our place to deal with the spiritual side of things. The church is number one to deal with the spiritual side, not the natural side. All we do, we help people stay in sin, feeding them, doing all kinds of stuff. Never deal with the spiritual side of stuff. We don't stop and say, hey, no, they're all going that way. I ain't going this way. No, I ain't going to follow the deception. That's deceiving. Because you say it, people get upset. I don't want anybody mad at me. I just wonder what people are going to think when they hear Jesus, when they go before the judgment seat of Christ.
Come on.
Amen. What's going to be said? Well, I wish you wouldn't have said that. We'll be judged by our words. The stuff we did. And so I want to get there's a side of reward. And God, I'm just telling you this, God is not able to reward the measure He'd love to. He wants to. God is not holding, I'm just telling you this, people say God's holding back for a reason. No, He isn't. Man has built a dam. And man has built a dam against God. And God on the other side has all this blessing He wants to flow. And man has built a dam of his ideas and his ways and how he thinks about stuff. And he's built this dam, holding back. The church is holding back the blessing of God. See, it comes on our side and change. We got to stop and say, hey, hold it. Well, God, what you want, that's what we're going to want.
Amen.
If I don't know what God, I'm not going to do until I find out what God wants. What do you want?
Amen.
What do you want to do? I have all things in life I want to do. I have a lot of desires, Lord. Yeah, which ones can the devil tempt you on? Can Amen. Oh, you might have good desires, and you might have desires that are bad, and you think they're downright good. You have to find out. That's the things we find out. The more we get to know God, the more we get into His Word. Hallelujah. So we're not going to throw rocks at Adam and Eve and what they've done. Can't do that. I've learned that a long time ago. I've heard, you know, even Christian ministers say, boy, if they would have just done right, and I think, man, if you had any brains, you'd have never said such a thing. If they'd have just done right. It's like, you ain't never missed it. You got born again and still missing it. I know none of us ever missed it. We got born again. We've just been in perfection. There's a lot of things that we've done in ignorance. You know, we didn't know.
Amen.
You know, growing up, going along, you know. Have you stubbed your toe along the way sometimes and that Amen. Kind of stuff? Have you ever run into things and, you know, you had to find out, you know, that, oh, that wasn't a thing to do. And you go along in those. But we need to understand. If we understand these principles and follow these, we can see in this what happens when people get deceived, what it does. You know, when the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, that is a good one. That is an excellent one. It's one thing as I learned, any wisdom I have, any knowledge I got from God.
Thank you, Lord.
I got from Him. If you think you got it, see, we're walking in an earth. People are holding up their degrees and I'm a this and I'm an expert at all this stuff. I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of braggarts God's going to have to deal with. Man thinks they've achieved what they achieved by them.
Come on.
We need to be careful about these things, even as Christians. Thank God if I know anything, I have the wisdom to do anything. Praise God. I only get it because of God.
Praise God.
We need to understand God's creation in the earth. Sinners today. Just like when I was a sinner. There were things I was good at as a sinner, but I was only good at because I was a creation of God. It wasn't inherent in me to be a genius. But if I was good at anything, because God created human life, and He made us, gave us a brain to think. See, don't ever think that you got smart because you're so smart. No. You're the one that causes problems today. Because we don't glorify God and what He's doing in us. We're going to find the excellency of men.
Come on.
See, we need to be careful in these things about this kind of stuff because so much does not give glory to God and His great working and doing that He's on the top of this chain of thing. He allowed us, you and I, to sit in heavenly places in Christ at His throne, which is the throne of authority. We sit at that place. I have done nothing to earn a spot there. Nothing. I have not earned a spot there to be at that throne of grace where the wisdom of God's given out. I haven't done anything to earn that spot. I've done nothing. And understand it with you. You've done nothing to enter that place. We should be so humbled that He put us in such a position. What a God. The day you got born again set us there. It's like, wow. See, and what we found out there in that place, but you know, that's a place of high respect is for us. Should be a place of great high respect to who that one we sit with. And it's sitting right beside Daddy's throne. My. We're allowed to be in that place. And the poor Holy Spirit has to put up with being down here on earth with us crazies. I'll tell you, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. My God, He's put up with a lot of nonsense. He put up with me and you. Hallelujah. And He ain't thrown me out yet. He still shows me stuff.
Hallelujah.
Amazing.
Hallelujah.
That's what I call amazing grace. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Father is revealing these things to us, and especially, Lord God, hallelujah. Father, you surely aren't against us. You surely are for us. And Father, if anything we get today is how good and wonderful you are, how great you are. And Lord God, your goodness toward men. And Lord, we look at the things with Adam and Eve, and Lord God, and we don't look at them as criticism, Lord God, because of the same stumblings and things that we've done. But Lord God, Thank you for teaching us and instructing us and put these things in the Word so we can walk in a better place and walk in a higher place. That we can see that we cannot be deceived to let the devil overrun our lives and do things and rob and steal the wonderful blessings that our great Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered so we could have. Did all that He did so we could live on the top instead of the bottom. And I want to just say thank you, Lord, as we look at these things. Hallelujah. We just want to bring great honor to you, Lord God. Lord God, you're great and do wonderful things. And all you did is ask us to believe what your word says and then act on what that word says and you would do it. I said, it's incredible. Hallelujah. That you made a system that any person can operate in and do. That it doesn't require any kind of great knowledge or understanding to that. And so we thank you, Lord. I thank you for making it, hallelujah, just so simple that it's easy to do, hallelujah. And then giving us revelation so we can walk in it better and better and better. You're incredible. And so we just want to thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.